Well, good morning. We have come to a point in our study of Proverbs where we're really now summarizing the wisdom that we have gleaned. We've covered a variety of topics, some encouraging, some convicting, but all good and wise. Next week, Meef will present to us what it looks like to be a Proverbs 31 woman. And today we're going to look at honor. The book of Proverbs is really just a practical book full of wisdom that teaches us how to live out that life of honor. And so as we look at our topic today, we're really going to go walking through summarizing the topics that we've discussed. So let's open up in a word of prayer. Dear Lord, we just thank you so much for this morning. We thank you so much for your word, Lord. Lord, we thank you for the beautiful worship, Lord, that just ushered us in and reminded us of your mighty power. Lord, I pray that as we study your word today, Lord, that you would draw us closer to you, Lord, that you would help us to focus, to live a life for an audience of one that would honor you. We love you, we praise you, and we ask all these things in your son's holy name. Amen. The word honor comes from the Hebrew word kavod. I'm probably going to pronounce that wrong. And that signifies importance, glory, and inherent worth. In the Greek, the word honor is time. I know I'm pronouncing that one wrong. It implies significant value, respect, and reverence. 1 Peter 2:17 says that we are to honor all people, love the brotherhood, fear God, and honor the king. Romans 13:7 says that we are to give honor where honor is due. Honor speaks to how we treat people, what we think about them, and it ultimately describes our outward expression of our internal thoughts and opinions. When a judge enters into a courtroom, they wear a robe. That dress code, if you will, is an outward expression that shows that they are the person of honor. A judge's title is the honorable. And as the judge enters the room in their robe and their title is stated, the people in the courtroom are asked to stand. It is that title, it is the wardrobe, it is asking people to stand. It is all an outward expression that shows the judge's authority and honors their authority in that courtroom. The judge is in a place of honor. They are the one who holds control of the room and have taken an oath to be unbiased and uphold the law. And the people act in a manner that shows the judge honor by standing for them. Psalm 96:6 says, "The splendor and majesty are before him. Strength and beauty are his sanctuary." We are called to give honor to authority figures in our life, but if you are a believer here this morning, the ultimate authority and honor all goes to God. He is our ultimate authority figure. It is God who is the giver and the taker of life. He is the creator of all things. He is all-knowing. He is all-powerful and in control of all. Revelation 4:11 says that you are worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for you created all things, and by your will they exist and were created. Without the Lord, we are nothing, and we would not exist. And for that reason alone, he deserves all the glory and all the praise. We honor the Lord by recognizing his authority over our lives. Living for an audience of one, the one who saved our souls. Do you live a life that reflects that he is the Lord of your life? When people look at you, do they see something different about you? Our culture values independence and self-sufficiency. They value riches and wealth, security and self-confidence and health. But God's word tells us that we are to value relationships, humility, obedience, authority, serving others, and honoring truth. The world values self, but we are called to die to self. James 4:4 tells us that if we want to be friends with the world, then we make ourselves an enemy of God. In contrast, John 15:8 says that my Father is glorified by this, that you bear much fruit and so prove to be my disciples. As believers who truly honor the Lord, we should look different than the world. We should stand out as different. We cannot walk through this life blending in with the world and thinking that we live a life that honors the Lord. 1 Peter 1:14 to 16 says, as obedient children, do not be conformed to the former lusts which were yours in your ignorance. But like the Holy One who called you, be holy yourself also in all your behavior, because it is written, you shall be holy, for I am holy. God has called us to live a life set apart from the world. And the best way that we can do that is to honor him. It's to live that life of obedience, to live a holy life honoring his name. But we have to be careful. It is not our works that save us. Ephesians 2:8 to 9 says, for by grace you have been saved through faith. It is not of yourself, it is a gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. Instead, it's our works that reveal that we are a follower of Jesus. John 15:8, my Father is glorified by this, that you bear much fruit. As followers of Christ, we should live a life transformed. Does your life show others that you respect and revere the Lord? Proverbs 3:9 says, to honor the Lord with your possessions and the first fruits of all your increase. One of the ways that we can honor the Lord is through our stewardship of the things that he has given us. That is, how am I using and taking care of the things that God gave me? What are my priorities? When someone looks at my life, I want them to say, oh, wow, she loves Jesus. She makes him a priority. She puts him first, not last. From our talents to our possessions and our relationships, those are all things that have been given to us by God. How are you honoring him? We honor the Lord by acting with wisdom and not acting foolishly. Proverbs 26:1 says that honor is not fitting for a fool. Why Proverbs 15:33 says that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and before honor comes humility. In the beginning of our study in Proverbs, Meek taught us that to fear the Lord, we must hate sin and turn from it. Instead, choosing a life that stands in contrast, in constant awe and wonder of the things that the Lord is doing. When we have the fear of the Lord, we walk in courage, integrity, and we have that peace that surpasses all understanding. In Jeremiah 17:9 to 10, we learn that the heart is more deceitful than all else, and it is desperately wicked. Who can understand it? I, the Lord, search the heart. I test the mind, even to give each man according to his ways, according to the results of his deeds. We learn that to live a life that honors the Lord, we are to follow him, not our heart. We honor the Lord when we put boundaries in that protect our heart, as it says in Proverbs 4:23, watch over your heart with all diligence, for from it flow the springs of life. A wrong heart will produce a wrong life. Our heart needs to be completely submitted and surrendered to Christ. We learn that we protect our heart by protecting our mind. Our battles, ladies, those are won and lost in our mind. What goes into the mind is going to grow in the heart. Proverbs 23:7 says that so a woman thinks, so she is. What are your thoughts? What are the things that run through your mind unchecked that you think that nobody knows? The Lord always knows, and eventually it will go down into your heart and it will consume you. Your thoughts should honor the Lord. Philippians 4:8-9 says that we are to think on what is true, what is honorable, what is right, what is pure, what is lovely, what is of good reproach. If there's anything that's excellent and praiseworthy, dwell on those things. Rest your mind on the things that bring honor to the Lord. Focus on the good that he has done. take those thoughts captive and submit them to him. If you want to live an honorable life, one of the things you must do is pray. Talk to the Lord. That honors him, and it also helps to protect our hearts and minds. It keeps our focus on him where it should be. And so we should all be praying without ceasing, as it says in 1 Thessalonians 5:17. Your mind will either magnify the problem or it will magnify the God who created you. And that is going to reveal who or what it is that you're truly honoring. Honor the Lord. Train your mind to focus on God and not the problem. We honor the Lord through our words. Proverbs 11:16 says that a gracious woman obtains honor. And in Colossians 4:6, we are told to let our speech be seasoned with grace so that we may know how to respond to each person. And James 1:9 says that we are to be quick to listen and slow to speak. We honor the Lord by holding our tongue and making sure that the words we say are going to reflect him and not our own selfish thoughts. Our speech should be words that are true, that are helpful, that are inspiring. And they should only be spoken when necessary, and they should always be spoken in love. When I open my mouth, am I honoring the Lord? A person who is honoring the Lord is exercising self-control over their mouth, not saying the first words that come into their mouth. It's important we teach our kids that too. It's not cute when they say blunt things and blurt things out. Teach them to hold their tongue. Proverbs 25:28 says, like a city that is broken in and without walls is a man who has no self-control over his spirit. We've learned this year that to be a woman of honor, that we cannot lack self-control. That self-control brings dishonor to, a lack of self-control brings dishonor to the Lord. And Proverbs 20, verse 3 says, it is honorable for a woman to stop striving, since any fool can start a quarrel. It is honorable to be gracious and forgiving, but dishonorable to stir up arguments and disagreements with others. Proverbs 19:11 says, it is a woman's glory to overlook transgressions. Are you fighting to be right, or are you fighting for righteousness? Before you feed that anger in your mind, in your heart, and then let it come out of your mouth, pray about it. Give it to God and ask him what you should do with it. Living a life that honors the Lord is not walking around fighting to have your way all the time. What is honorable is using self-control and giving the Lord your anger, your emotions, and seeking his will for how you should respond when you're emotional. We have learned this year that to honor the Lord, we cannot put our trust in money. Proverbs 11:4 says, money will not save you from wrath. Only righteousness will be rewarded. Our hope cannot be in our finances. However, our finances can reveal what it is that we worship. Proverbs 11:26 says, people curse those who hoard their grain, but they bless the one who sells in time of need. We can honor the Lord when we recognize that our money is not something to be loved and cherished, but that instead it is a tool that allows us to serve him and to serve his people. Haggai 2:8 says, the silver is mine and the gold is mine, says the Lord of heaven's armies. It's not ours. All the money we have is because he has allowed us to have it, and it needs to be used for him. We can honor the Lord with our finances and our possessions. Is how I'm spending my money honoring the Lord? Am I randomly going into debt because I want the latest and the greatest? Or am I using wisdom when it comes to my money, praying about the things that we need and the things that we want? If we pulled up your bank statement, would it reveal that you have been a good steward of your money? Do you spend frivolously without thinking and without praying about it? What is it that you're investing in? Does what you're choosing to spend your money honor the Lord? I remember when we were going to move our kids from public school to private school, We had some very close family question that choice and tell us that that was a really poor financial investment, that we should be investing in owning a home because we hadn't yet bought our house. But Chris and I had prayed, and we knew that the Lord was calling us to spend our money to invest in our children's education by placing them in a school where they were taught a biblical worldview. It might not look like what the world says to honor the Lord with your money. And maybe that's not the choice that God is calling you to make. But in that season, we knew that for us, he was asking us to put aside the things that the world valued and to value our children and their education and to honor him. Your obedience to spend your money the way that God is calling you to spend it honors him. Sometimes the Lord tells you to use your money in ways that the world just doesn't understand. And it's important that you submit your finances to him. Seek him for what your budget should look like. In addition to honoring the Lord with our finances, we can also honor him with how we steward the things that he has given us. Am I taking care of the things that God has gifted me? One of those things can be your home. No matter if you live in a mansion or a trailer, he gave you a place to live. And your home can and should be a place where you can honor the Lord. You honor him by taking care of it, by not putting it down. Your home should be a place where you feel comfortable and can relax, but it also must be cared for. We have to take out the trash. We have to tend to the yard. I have a large yard. It's overwhelming to tend to sometimes. We have to do this like defensible space, and we're not great at maintaining it. But the Lord gave it to us. He gave us a half an acre in San Diego. That's weird. Like, we need to honor that by taking care of it and maintaining. And when you go to buy a house, one of the worst things that you can hear is the phrase deferred maintenance. That means that whoever lived in the house and owned the house did not steward it well. They didn't take care of it. They didn't maintain it. They instead allowed it to get run down, and there needs to be a lot of maintenance, aka money, spent to fix and take care of the house. We can honor him by using our house for his glory and taking care of it. Is your house a place of rest and relaxation for your family and friends? Do you welcome others in, and are you hospitable? Be gracious with what he's given you. And you know this, our church, this is the Lord's house. And we honor him by taking care of it. We have an amazing group of dedicated volunteers that clean this property and that take care of it. A dedicated volunteer who comes and gives so much of his time to take care of the grounds and make sure that they are beautiful and tended after. He is honoring the Lord with what he does. But you know what? We all should be taking responsibility for the Lord's house. How are you treating his house? As I drove around the parking lot yesterday, I noticed that the small grass was full of trash. And I don't want to, like, knock anyone. I'm not trying to put people down or point out sin, but are we caring for the Lord's house? When we have our snacks on Sunday, are we going and putting the trash in the trash can? Are we telling our kids, hey, go put that away? Or are we just expecting someone else will come along and do it for us, or they'll pick up after our kids? This is God's house. We need to honor it and remember that this is his. If my kids walk into my house and they dump their stuff all over the table and they never put anything away, if they eat a meal but they never take one dish to the sink and wash it, that does not show my husband and I that they appreciate and that they honor and respect the things that we have provided them. They are leaving it, not giving a thought or a care about how someone else has to take care of the mess that they made. Instead, it shows that they don't care, that they are taking for granted our generosity. And sometimes we do that to the Lord. We forget that all of our actions either bring him honor or they bring him dishonor. There is no middle ground. We have become such a selfish culture that we make excuses for our selfishness, and we struggle to take care and concern, to give honor where honor is due. We do what we want without looking at the consequences of our actions, and we shrug it off as not a big deal. You know, my son, I've said before, he plays baseball, and baseball is expensive, and it's all about the things, okay? And my youngest son loves things, and he wants new baseball equipment. He wants, like, a $400 bat. Like, no 10-year-old needs a $400 bat. That's just my personal opinion. You can do what you want if you feel the Lord calling to spend $400 on a baseball bat, but we're trying to teach him the importance of stewardship, that you have to take care of your things. It is not mom and dad's responsibility to take care of your stuff. We're not going to go buy him more expensive equipment if he can't take care of the $100 bat I bought him. Because, yes, they're that much money for the cheap ones. But still, that's crazy, too. He needs to show us that he honors us and the money that we have already spent by taking care of what we've already provided him before we're ever going to trust him with more. If he walks in and he leaves his whole bucket of baseballs all over the yard for the dog to find and chew up, then he's not being a good steward of what we bought him. But if he goes out and he plays and he picks up those baseballs and he puts them back in the bucket and he puts them in the shed where all the sports equipment goes, then he's showing us that he takes care of that stuff, that he respects us as his parents who work to earn money to be able to buy him those things. That's the behavior that brings Chris and I honor as his parents. 1 Chronicles 29:14 says, "For all things come from you, the Lord. Everything we have is because of the Lord. We honor him by taking care of the gifts that he has given us. Are we being good stewards and caring for what he has given?" This Bible study season, we've also learned that not only does the Lord want us to steward all the things that we have, but he also hates when we lie. Those are things that are an abomination to him. John 14:6, Jesus says, the way, the truth, and the life. In contrast, Satan is the father of lies. John 8:48, you are of your father, the devil, and the desire of your father you want to do. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in truth because there is no truth in him. When he speaks a lie, he speaks from his own resources, for he is a liar and the father of it. Lying gives honor to Satan, while speaking truth gives honor to the Lord. Proverbs 12:22 says that lying lips are an abomination to the Lord, but those who deal truthfully are his delight. Whenever we can speak truth into a situation, it brings the Lord honor. Satan wants to cause separation and division, and he does it by getting us to believe lies and pitting us against one another. But speaking truth into complicated situations can bring clarity that will honor the Lord. We've learned this year that we honor the Lord when we show others the peace and joy that we have in Christ Jesus. Proverbs 27:9 reveals that perfume and incense bring joy to the heart, and the pleasantness of a friend springs from their heartfelt advice. God designed us for community. We honor him with our choices of our friends. Do we have friends that are pointing us to Christ, who show us his love, but will also give us wise counsel or even confront us if they have seen us struggling in our walk with Christ? Who we choose to surround ourselves with can bring honor to the Lord. 1 Corinthians 15:33 tells us that bad company corrupts, while Proverbs 13:20 tells us to walk with the wise and become wise. And Proverbs 12:26 says, the righteous should choose their friends carefully, for the way of the wicked leaves them astray. We honor the Lord when we choose our friends wisely. Are your friends pointing you to Jesus? We have learned this year that sin separates us from God and that sin is crouching at the door waiting to devour us. The wise who honor the Lord do not entertain sin. They turn from it. Sin separates us from God, but living a life that honors him is constantly turning. On this side of heaven, we will never be free from sin, but we will be fighting to live a life of righteousness every single day. And when we do sin, the honorable choice is to confess our sin, because he is faithful and just to forgive us our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Proverbs 29:23 says, "He that is humble in spirit will retain honor." It takes humility to confess your sin and to admit that you are not perfect. But living a life that honors the Lord requires us to humble ourselves and to recognize our need for a Savior. Marriages. We've learned this year that our marriage was designed and ordained by God and is a gift from Him. We honor the Lord when we follow His design for our marriage. His design is between one man and one woman alone. Ephesians 5:22 says that wives are to submit to your own husbands as to the Lord. We can honor the Lord when we love and serve and submit to our husbands. That does not mean that we don't have an opinion or we don't have a voice. Genesis 2:18 says, "And the Lord God said, 'It is not good for man to be alone. I will make him a helper comparable to him.'" That word helper in the Hebrew is the word ezer, and it means strong ally, rescuer, or force of strength. Being submissive to Christ does not mean that I am weak or helpless. It is the opposite. It means that I am to be a strong helper for him. It means that we are a force of strength to our husbands, that we are honoring the Lord when we can be that for them. We know our husbands better than anybody else. I know the things that my husband loves, the things that he hates. I know his victories and his struggles. I see him in a way that nobody else does. I see him in his most vulnerable state. And because of that, I have the ability and the God-given duty to help him, to speak life into him. I get to build him up and encourage him. But I also see when he's struggling, and I get to be the one who lovingly talks with him. If I see that he has been letting the busyness of life distract him and he hasn't been as diligent setting aside time for the Lord, I get to be the one to encourage him and to help make time for him to be able to set aside and to prioritize the Lord. We honor the Lord when we help our husbands draw closer to Jesus. But the thing about that is that we have to have a strong and healthy marriage for me to be able to speak those things into him and not shut him down. I have to be spending time with him, tending to our friendship and building intimacy with him. Are we tending to our marriages? Are you making your marriage a priority, or are you neglecting it, seeing it as a burden? Do you spend more time with your girlfriends than you do your husband? Do you speak words of life into your marriage, or do you complain about your spouse to others? Do you value your husband's opinion? We honor the Lord when we honor our marriage covenant, when we love our husbands well. We also honor the Lord in how we raise and interact with our children. When our children were little, Chris and I had our pastor dedicate them to the Lord. That wasn't so much for our kids. It was for us as their parents. It was for us to stand before our pastor and our church body and say that we vow to raise our children in the fear and admonition of the Lord. And by doing that publicly, it was inviting others to hold us accountable to that. As parents, we should be tending to our children's souls. It brings honor to the Lord when we are intentional to raise our children, pointing them to Jesus and making sure that they are getting cared for physically and emotionally, but also cared for spiritually. Am I teaching my kids how to honor the Lord, how to speak to others, how to love others and be good stewards of the time and gifts that God has given them? More is caught than taught. Am I living a life that honors the Lord, showing my kids what that looks like? 1 Timothy 1:17 says, "Now to the King, eternal, immortal, invisible, to God who alone is wise, be honor and glory forever and ever. I want my kids to see that verse and think, yeah, my mom believed that. She honored the Lord. She was imperfect, but she tried in everything she did to give him all the glory and praise. I want my kids to look at me and see Jesus, not me. I want them to see a transformed life because of him. 1 Samuel 15:22 says, Has the Lord as much delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as obeying in the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice. And I saw a quote recently that said, honor is the silent guardian of one's character. It is not our outward appearance and behavior that saves us. However, if we are saved, if we have a true relationship with Jesus, it should transform our outward appearance from the inside out. That heart change should lead to external changes that show the world that we love and honor the Lord. We should not look like the world. Our character should reveal Jesus to the world. The world is so influential, and it is tempting to do as the world does. It tells us in Matthew 7, 13 to 14, Jesus said, enter through the narrow gates, for the gate is wide, and the way is broad that leads to destruction. And there are many who enter it, for the gate is small, and the way is narrow that leads to life, and there are few who find it. The world does not honor God. They live for and honor self. But as a believer, we are called to honor and love the Lord. Are you living a life of obedience and submission to Jesus? When you get up in the morning, are you seeking his will for your day and talking with him, letting him direct your steps? Does your life tell others that you honor the Lord? Proverbs 21:21 says, he who follows righteousness and mercy finds life, righteousness, and honor. Let's pray. Dear Lord, we just thank you so much for your word. Lord, that it is sharper than any two-edged sword, Lord, and that it can split and reveal the areas in our heart that we need a touch from you. Lord, I pray that if there is any area in our lives, Lord, that we haven't turned over to you, that we are not honoring you in, Lord, that you would bring us gentle love and correction. Lord, that we would wake up every day, that we would become women, that when our feet hit the floor, that the enemy runs scared because we live to honor you in everything that we do. Lord, I thank you for each of these women that you've brought here. Lord, I pray a blessing upon them, Lord. And I pray that you would just comfort their hearts and draw them each closer to you. We thank you, we praise you, and we ask all these things. In your name we pray. Amen.